From Bigfoot to ghosts, aliens to the afterlife, this is Nightcast. And now, here is your host, Ian Morris.
Welcome to the night. Well, tonight on Nightcast, we have something very special. Seth Michaels, the paranormal investigator, one who investigates Bigfoot, chupacabras, alien abductions, and more, has told us that he has brought us back something very, very special. Something special that only Nightcast has. Welcome back, Seth Michaels, to Nightcast. Welcome, Seth.
Oh, thank you, Ian. Thank you for having me back again.
So, Seth, what did you bring us?
It is a unique creature, a creature that it's hard to explain, but I was in Guatemala and the part of northern Mexico.
That's where you've been. We were wondering for the past, 3 weeks, month, you've been away, and we wondered what happened to you. But you brought us back. You were down in Guatemala in southern Mexico.
Yes, and right on the borderline. I had to go back and forth.
Okay, so what did you bring us on Nightcast?
There is this creature. It's in Mexican folklore. They call it the black dog. In Guatemala, the name is Itza. It's a creature dog, a dog that it's a flesh-eating animal that it's only been seen rarely. And I got a tip of it from a local villager in that village. And what happened was they went to one of the main cities in Guatemala, which they were trying to find a paranormal, you know, someone who can investigate what is going on in this village by Lago Petén Itza. And that's where the name comes from. Itza, the dog that's been around that area.
Itza, how do you spell that?
In English, it's called Lake Petén. It's P-E-T-E-N, Petén, and then Itza.
What is the Itza for? I mean, is that part of the name of the lake?
Yeah, it's the name of the lake. And the villagers have named this creature after it since it's been seen around that lake.
Seth, you say that it's flesh-eating?
Yes, flesh-eating. There has been some accounts of children being bit. Or back in 1975, there has been a case of a young kid who died from very weird bites, marks, and even its leg.
Does it hunt humans or does it hunt cattle or whatever livestock that they have in the area?
I believe they probably eat for everything. From what I've heard from the villagers, it's they eat anything that has meat in it, really. I mean, it's just it from their livestock, their chickens, their goats.
It has taken humans, though?
From one case that I've heard, that I've studied, and that I saw paperwork, it was left almost with a question mark. They don't know what really happened to this kid, but it happened right around that lake that they saw him. But he was face down on the floor, and his leg was almost chewed up. And it had weird bite marks on it, claws that they didn't know what it was.
How did they know this wasn't some wild dog or something?
Well, villagers have lived there for so many years. And so they know the animals that live around that lake. They know what kind of animals, whether there's, I don't know, mountain lions or anything. But there was nothing like that, you know. And they knew that this creature wasn't any dog or any cat. It had to be some unique animal that they never seen before. Because from what I saw, it was very different. And it wasn't something that I, even in my studies, never seen before.
Now, I know in a lot of those villages down in Central America, you know, there are wild dogs that run the streets like that. They were for sure that this was not one of those small packs of dogs or something that mauled the young child?
No, they assumed that there could have been that. But the thing is that within that village, there wasn't that many dogs to be around. They knew that there was, you know, stray dogs, but not that many. And the bite marks just were very unique. It had fangs on it, but
does the Itza have fangs on it?
From what I've seen and what I have, yes.
Well, you know, this is very special because no other program has ever presented the Itza, nor have we even heard of it.
Exactly.
And you say that you have evidence that this Itza exists.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about it. I mean, what?
That's what it is. It is in Mexican folklore. They named it the Black Dog. It's actually in Mayan culture. Within this Mayan culture, and there has been said that this, what they call it, the Black Dog, used to take people, children, to the underworld. So this dog was the leader. And normally what it will do is it will take them onto a lake, a sea, anything with water, and it will guide them under to the lake, because supposedly this black dog knew where to go for the underworld. There has been even evidence in southern Mexico that they saw two dogs, their bones, with children under this, and what they assumed was these two black dogs were leading them to the underworld. So the culture, this black dog, which the Guatemalans call it Itza, I believe that's what it derives from this culture that's been there for thousands of years. And now, when they thought it was just a myth, it seems it could be true, and it's somewhere around Lago Petén Itza right now.
Well, Seth, has anyone seen this thing? I mean, it's in the myth. Have they actually physically seen the Itza?
A family that I talked to in Guatemala actually claims, and there's physical evidence of a picture that I brought for you, Ian, that they actually captured this dog. And they captured it, but unfortunately, it escaped after a couple of days. And from what I can explain in this picture, this doesn't seem like a dog to me. It has no ears. It has almost like faded stripes coming down, and it has a ridge of hair all the way to the back of its tail, and its eyes are so different. A part of me felt it was maybe an abused dog, but for what the villagers said, they said, no, this isn't any other dog. It's very aggressive. They only were able to take a picture from far away, but they captured it because they had a feeling that maybe this was the animal that the local villagers were saying, could this be the dog, the animal that killed this kid back in 70.
Well, Seth, would it be possible for us to have that picture?
Definitely.
And post it on our website at Radio B88.
Yes, definitely. And I want people to see this the way I want to experience the way I experienced when I first saw this picture.
So the Itza the photo that they gave you, how many, did they only have one photo?
They only have one picture.
And they gave you that picture?
What I did was I was actually take a photocopy of it. They couldn't give me the picture because something for them to hold on to. So if they ever saw it again, they know how it looks like. People know to be aware.
Right. So we'll post that picture of the Itza on our website at radiob88.com. Go to the Nightcast page, and at the bottom there'll be a menu where it says Nightcast Shows. You click on that, and that will list all of the shows. It'll list tonight's show, and in the description of tonight's show, you will find a link to see the Itza photo. Has there been anyone else that has gone down there to investigate this, or were you the first and the only?
Well, local police in a city in Guatemala, that they have, you know, there's police reports out there, but unfortunately they had no one to investigate because it was an animal. There's nothing that they can do. But the local village was trying to get the attention of the public to let them know this is no animal. There is a creature here that's scaring people within that city, within that lake, villagers that live around that lake, and it's been like that for many years now. So
how long ago did they lose that child?
Oh, wow. I will say that it's been maybe 30 years.
30 years ago.
It's been 30 years ago.
And it hasn't attacked anyone since? Or
it hasn't done anything since after that.
What about?
Just livestock.
Well, yes, that's what
it's just livestock that's been now. From the fear from that 30 years ago, it's almost like a lesson learned. They take care of their children. They keep them very close to them. If they do go out, an adult goes with them with a weapon with them just in case if they ever see something like this again. They could try to fight it off or even capture it, whether it's dead or alive.
Does it still terrorize this little village?
The fear is there. The fact that sometimes it's just hard for them to keep livestock because it somehow disappears. Their chickens disappear. Even some cats and dogs have disappeared. the fear for the humans are not that, you know, it's not that expected anymore. It's more fear of their animals. You know, they need to eat. They need food. And when a creature like this comes in and takes that away from them, they get very angry. So
is it strictly nocturnal? It hunts only at night, or does it come out in the daytime?
Ian, I actually brought some recording. I had to investigate. So what I did is I planted different recording devices within the lake. And what I did, I left it for overnight for almost a week. I needed a week. And unfortunately, for the first couple of days, I got nothing. But I got one sound that I can't wait for you guys to hear, that it was very unique, very scary, very creepy. And I know this was no animal that I've ever heard of or I've ever seen. It was just a very unique sound, a very creepy sound. And it's kind of very distant. But I was able to bring you that version and the amplified version so you guys could hear very carefully this animal.
How did you know where to find the Itza?
Well, what happened is I had to go back down to the crime scene, the scene that happened 30 years ago. A memorial is there for this kid. And what happened was that I had to go there. And what I did, I planted different sound recordings within that area, within that little, you can say it was like a little small jungle, you know, a small forest. I had to plant stuff out there and to see what I can catch. And especially the livestock within those villagers, I planted certain devices around there where normally livestock always comes missing within a couple of weeks, there's always something missing.
How far away from the village did you get this recording of the Itza?
Oh, I honestly have to see me within 2 or 3 miles away from the village.
2 to 3 miles. So it's still pretty close. It still exists. Is there more than one, or is there one or there has, a pack or
what happened is this is in Lake Itza. And what happened was there is another incident. And this happened actually reports back in 1956. There's a city in Guatemala. It's called Puerto Barrios. And what it is a port and right in the opening of the sea. And there has been another sighting of this black dog, what they call, and it's right by the lake. It's called Lago de Isabel, and it's another lake in Guatemala. It's one of the two big main lakes in Guatemala that they have seen this animal, again, sighting, but this one was back in 1956, which was actually sooner than the one in Itza. But with them, what they saw, it was a unique animal, a dog-like animal that they'd never seen before. And again, this is just from family stories passed on within this lake that now connecting it together resembles to that one from Itza.
This sounds very, very much like what you were describing.
Mm-hmm.
Something very, very different. Well, we're going to take a break and we'll be back with more. The Itza is still out there. I'm Ian Moore.
This is Nightcast.
Welcome back to Nightcast. I'm Ian Morris. We're continuing our exploration of Itza tonight with Seth Michaels, who brought back a creature that has never been on radio or television or exposed to anyone before, except a small village down in Guatemala and a small section of southern Mexico. Seth, tell us more about the Itza.
Well, what happened is, going back into my investigation, I had to find out exactly what this black dog really came from. Where has it been and where has it been seen? Going through a lot of historical facts, especially in the historic side of Guatemala and, of course, in Mexico, things I share is the Mayans. The Mayans took a lot of, you know, they took a lot of that property, you know, from Guatemala and Mexico. They came from there. So what happened is I had to go to Oaxaca, Mexico. And within there, I had to talk to a scholar who mentioned of, I asked him questions around, is there any myth creatures in Mexico that has been so popular that may be connected to this creature that I was describing him to him? And one thing that he mentioned was the black dog. That was when he brought up all this information to me. And what I read was very fascinating and very scary to me, to be honest. What happened was, one of the creatures, when it came to the black dog, was that across much of Mexico, there was evil sorcerers. And they are believed to be able to transform themselves into a black dog in order to prey upon the livestock of their neighbors or just terrorize them. So myth goes that these evil sorcerers will transform into these dogs, these aggressive dogs, just to eat on the livestock and of their neighbors and scare them to death.
Now, in the small villages down in southern Mexico, well, actually throughout Mexico and Guatemala, Central America in general, they tend to have usually somebody in the small town or small village that is referred to as a witch. And sometimes it's male. He's a shaman.
Yes.
And is that who you're referring to, that they can change into this Itza?
Well, for what I've studied, I believe there are the ones. I believe there are the ones that could have transformed themselves into something like this to terrorize people and, or again, eat on the livestock.
Could it be that they're still doing that? That these shaman are still transforming themselves into this Itza?
And that's... God, Ian, I hope not. I hope not. I mean, it's a very scary thing to think about if there is still powerful sorcerers out there that, you know, come in these small villages. You have to think about it. They're not main cities. People don't know about these places. They stay away from villages like that for the fear of the unknown or what they can do. Some of these people, sometimes they're not right in the head in a way, and you stay away from them. For me, it attracts me.
Okay, so this goes back, you said, to the Mayans.
And yes.
This is kind of like, well, I guess kind of like the folklore of Bigfoot or Sasquatch, where it goes way, 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 way back.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the Itza seems that it's been around for a very long time as well.
Exactly. And to me, the fact that it's still, for what I've seen, it's still around. And it's almost like it has lived through so many years to where it is now, where it adapts. That's the best way for me to put it. It adapts because they hide very well. And the fact that one was captured, unfortunately, it escaped. But the fact that there is a physical evidence of this picture that resembles something that I haven't, again, it doesn't seem like a dog to me. It doesn't seem anything.
How did they capture it and how did this thing escape? I mean, that's got to be terrifying. You have it captured one day and you go out the next day and it's gone. It's like, uh-oh.
It was the sound. It was a howl of this animal that the owner of this farm around that area, what he saw, he heard the sound. It's almost like he came out at night and he noticed his chickens were acting up.
It is a nocturnal hunter.
It seems to me that it is a nocturnal hunter. And what happened was the sound attracted him and he came out. He told me the story how he had his gun with him and he was ready to go out there and he heard his chickens just acting crazy. And it's almost like he went very close to his chickens and he saw this dog creature eating one of its chickens. And it was one at that moment where he what he did is that luckily, since all the chickens happened and left, that the little, how do I say this?
The chicken coop.
The chicken coop. Mm-hmm. He was able to capture it inside that chicken coop and close the door. So it was still in there. So for them, it was, you know, he had to take that chicken coop somewhere else and almost put it like in a backyard and kind of let it go to see what it did. But to me, from a story I heard, that's how he captured it, because it was actually eating one of the chickens inside the coop. And the best way for him to do it, if not, he didn't want to shoot it because he'd never seen it before. And he wanted someone to investigate it. But unfortunately, by the time someone came in to look at it, the dog escaped.
Seth, are they sure that this is not the chupacabra? I mean, is this...
I asked them, but the thing is that from what other witnesses, and especially in Mexico, have mentioned, was that this chupacabra did not match the description of Itza. It was two different creatures. You know, it is said that chupacabra, you know, walks in 2 feet. Compared to the Itza, it's more, you know, walks in four legs, and it just didn't resemble it.
Now, during the break, you showed me the picture.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, I'm not even sure what this thing looks like. It looks almost part dog, part mm-hmm. cat. It's got a ridge, that black fur ridge on its back.
Yeah.
Almost like a hyena or something on that order. Yeah. Some other weird type of animal. Mm-hmm. Again, I'd like to remind our listeners, you can go to radiob88.com, go to the Nightcast page, go to the menu at the bottom, Nightcast shows, and go to tonight's show, and there'll be a link where you can look at this creature. But I got to tell you, this thing is, and that's why I question, is it the chupacabra or what? Because it looks very odd. It's, and I've seen depictions of the chupacabra, mm-hmm. and, you know, only the witnesses who've seen that know what that looks like.
Exactly. And the thing is that there's two different stories behind it. You always get the story behind the people that are superstitious, people who have witnessed it. And then you got the scientific version, people where they don't think these creatures exist. They feel like there's always an explanation. So from what I understand, I showed the picture to one of the local scientists, one of the scholars there. And their idea is it's just inbreeding. What happened was inbreeding within the within two different dogs, and this dog just came a little bit deformed. That's their scientific answer to this. Of course, there's, again, you know,
it's, well, it didn't look like any kind of deformed dog to me. It looked like a separate creature. It looked like it could have some dog in it, but it was very, 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 very different.
Exactly. And, you know, for me to go along with that, believe that answer, it was just hard to believe. And again, from the sound clip that I have, including with the picture that I have, it's just, it's hard for me to think that it could have been two dogs just, and, you know, inbreeding, and it just came out a little bit deformed. But,
and dogs don't have stripes.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest.
Dogs, you know, have spots, but they don't have stripes. Not, and this has stripes.
Exactly. It and again, it's, you know, from experiencing this and seeing the villagers, seeing this picture, it's almost like it frightens them. It's almost where they just want it killed. They've only seen one. Is there more out there?
You went to different areas, of course, and in Guatemala is that where they had it captured, or was that in southern Mexico?
That was in Guatemala.
They had it captured. And the people in southern Mexico, did they describe it the same as,
well, for them, since they've never really witnessed or seen it, of course it is in the Mayan culture, it is in stone about this black dog, but all they know about it's just a black dog. That's all there really is. There isn't more in other just stories from, you know, how this black dog guides people to the underworld, and or from even evil sorcerers that transform into this black dog. That's all they've seen. The only witnesses I've seen it have been in Guatemala. And again, the name of this dog, of course, they call it the black dog, but here they call it the Itza, because it's been around, especially mostly in Lake Petén Itza in Guatemala.
Since there were no direct witnesses, in southern Mexico, but yet they knew of the story.
Uh-huh.
Is it possible that it used to be all over that region, but that it has died back and now it's just only in Guatemala and just in a small little section? And how many do you, did they tell you how many there were left, or do they even know how many? Or is it just that one and it's just...
It's just that one, and they don't know if there's more out there, and that's what they fear. That's why now it's more of like...
Is it extinct? It can't be extinct because there's still one left.
There's still one left, but can they breed with other animals, other dog-like creatures? I don't know.
Maybe there is still maybe two or three or maybe a small pack of four or six or something like that.
Exactly.
But they are in such a small pack that there's so few that they're just almost non-existent.
And that's the thing, you know, going back to the Mexican folklore and how this all connects, it's only around lakes and sea. It's not like in dry areas where there's nothing. It's whether it likes to be in water. That's something that's also very unique. Because, you know, you always look at your local animals. They don't like to be around water very much other than just to drink and that's it. But if this dog can also live in water, that's something where maybe that's why they haven't found it in dry land. And when they go out there to find it, to hunt it, it's not there. It's almost like maybe it comes out from the water. And
how much of the folklore... Of course, Ian, because it lives around the water, how much of the folklore do you think is true that it leads the dead across water into
the underworld
or you know, whatever is beyond?
You know, that's a really good question because it just connects everything. And it's almost so bizarre to realize that this dog, you know, can, from what I've seen from, you know, heard and read from the Mayan culture, it's just so bizarre. It's hard for me to explain.
Is it real or is it a spirit dog?
It could be both. Honestly, I feel like it could be both. I feel
multi-dimensional?
I wouldn't be surprised. And from what I've seen, I wish I physically can see it because I could maybe, you know, study it a little bit more to find out what it really was. But the fact that it's mostly just been within these villagers and within this area, it seems to me that from what I've seen, it is real. I honestly believe this animal is real and it's still there within this lake in Petenitsa, and it's just going terrorizing people maybe and eating their animals.
Now the picture that you brought back, that picture looks as though that's when they had it in captivity.
Yes.
Is that when they took that picture? I mean,
because
it doesn't look like it's out in the forest or the jungle or whatever.
Yes.
It looks like it's in some type of a pen or...
Yes. When this man went and captured this animal, he took a picture of it. And what he did was when he took this picture of it, he wanted to send it out to scholars, to scientists, to people that study animals to find out exactly what this was because he didn't know what it was. He has heard of the legend. He has heard of the stories, but he didn't know if this was... it, or it could have just been a deformed animal, a deformed dog, or a beaten up dog. And unfortunately, before he was able to get answers or for someone to come over and study it, it disappeared. It left. How did it escape? I don't know. He said he had that area very secure, but somehow whether this creature can jump very high or anything, that's the thing. It's hard to explain. But if it was able to escape, it is a very smart animal. He knows the area, and I feel that's why I feel this animal knows how to adapt. He knows where to come, where he knows. He knows where he's at. He knows his area very well.
Well, Seth Michaels has brought us the Guatemalan flesh-eating Itza tonight on Nightcast. We'll be back, and we're going to hear the Itza. I'm Ian Morris.
Be sure to visit the website at radiob88.com. This is Nightcast.
We're back from break. If you'd like to be a guest on Nightcast, you can email us at nightcast@radiob88.com or go to the website at radiob88.com and go to the Be a Guest page. Seth Michaels joins us again tonight on Nightcast, and he has brought back a creature that has never been on any other radio show before. It's the Itza, and it's here on Nightcast tonight. Seth, continue with the Itza, the people in southern Mexico. Did you talk to any of the shaman in the area?
I did not been able to talk to someone, a shaman, in that area whatsoever. Again, the stories that I've heard were just more of folklore stories from older senior citizens in that area that have been hearing this story since they were children, and being told it's almost passed on and passed on and passed on generations, and always talking about this black dog and how they feel it could be the same black dog from their stories, the one who's still living today in Guatemala.
We've established it's no longer in Mexico, but it's still running around in Guatemala. What did the people in the small village do to protect themselves from this thing?
Well, the best they can do is lock their doors, close their windows, make sure there's no spot where they can get in. Again, I honestly feel this dog can adapt. And the fear on the people is their children. You know, the story of the folklore is that this animal feed on children. And from what the experience that happened about 30 years ago with this boy who lost his life, unfortunately, to this animal, they fear that it could happen again. So it's almost a lesson learned from them from that experience, where they don't let their kids out unless there's a supervision out there with a weapon in case of the Itza coming back or attacking.
Have they ever killed one?
Unfortunately, no, they have not killed one.
Yeah, I guess that would be the evidence that
exactly.
prove we've got. Yeah, it's. I guess that's kind of like the Sasquatch. Many, many people have seen it. It's out there, but nobody has the body.
The thing is, there's two sides in the village regarding capturing the animal or killing it. Now, the people that want to kill it are the people that are feared it the most. They feel it is a devil dog. It is a dog from the underworld. They fear it. They want it gone. They don't want it there anymore. They feel that this dog does not belong in this world anymore. But then there is the other people from the villagers, where they feel that it comes from a warrior. There's a folklore in Guatemala regarding this warrior that he fought a battle. His name is Tecún Umán. Without Tecún, this warrior, it is said that has Quetzal feathers, which is...
It's
a bird. It's a bird. It's usually the national bird in Guatemala. You can see it in its national flag, actually. That is the Quetzal.
Oh, the bird on the flag of Guatemala?
Exactly.
Is it a real bird or is it a legendary bird?
It's a real bird. It's a real bird. It's a very, unfortunately, there's not that many left out there for the rarity and the beautiful of its feathers. This warrior went to battle, and he had a spirit animal guide that joined him in battle to help him fight conquistadors entering Guatemala. Now, the people believe that this animal guide, story said it was a Quetzal bird, but others say it could have been this black dog because it matches with the folklore in Mexico as well, of another dog that his name was, it was a sorcerer. It was known as Nahual, and it was in the Yucatan Peninsula. And in some of they go by the name of White Chivo. These are the names of this. And it was another supernatural dog with an enormous black dog that will protect the Mayan king and queen. So it had this creature, and this dog will choose its person to take care of. It's almost like this dog was able to sense.
Kind of a supernatural
kind
of dog?
Supernatural dog. So they feel like this dog could have traveled down to Guatemala within the Mayan civilization. And at the time when this warrior, Tecún Umán, was there, it's almost like they feel, villagers who honestly feel, that this dog was the protector, the animal guide, spiritual that came went to battle with Tacunaman in the later years to fight the conquistadors from entering Guatemala.
Now, on the other side of that, this creature looks somewhat like a dog, but it also looks like something else. And I guess what I'm asking is, why would they refer to it only as a dog in these folklore? Why only as a dog? Is that because it's the closest animal?
I think so.
It looks like?
I think, honestly, it's because it's the closest animal. They can honestly say they resembles it. Again, scientists feel that it is not, it is just a deformed animal out there, of course. But to me, that's the best to describe it. It could resemble a dog, but...
But a very wild dog, because it kills things.
Exactly. Yeah, of course. It's not your local house dog. It's a very vicious dog.
Right. And it's actually, killed humans and stuff. What is the largest size of animal that this thing has taken down? Or do you know that? I mean, the reason I'm asking is because, can it take down an adult human?
I don't think so. From the picture that I saw, the dog seems like a small dog. I will say maybe it was 2 feet tall, maybe 4 or 3 feet wide, long, I believe. I wouldn't think it would be able to take it down unless the human, the person who was trying to defend itself, did not know how to. And maybe the fangs on this dog could actually...
I'm sorry. How big is it? How big is this thing?
Oh, I honestly...
Is it the size of a small dog? Is it the size of a medium size, a large dog?
From the physical picture that I brought in, it looks like a small dog. It resembles a small dog. If I would have said, bigger than a Chihuahua, that is for sure. Mm-hmm. Much bigger than a Chihuahua. Maybe between a little bit bigger than a Rat Terrier, I would say. Okay. That's the biggest I will say that from what I've seen in the picture that it could
But it's very vicious.
Very vicious.
It can kill a child. So, I mean, yes, it's a small little thing, but it just sounds like it's extremely vicious.
This dog knows how to attack, and that's the thing. That's what the people in the village fear. This dog knows how to attack. It's not a dog where it's not a stupid dog. It's a very smart dog. And for it to live for this long, which I believe has lived this long, because it knows how to adapt. It knows how to attack. And that's something that, again, one side, they want it gone. But on the other side, I believe it's a spiritual dog. It's there for a reason. It's there to protect, even though evidence and other people I fought in the village saying that it has killed someone. But they fear it's because maybe that kid did something to that dog. And the reason why it attacked.
Now, in the dog world, they tend to hunt in packs.
Mm-hmm.
But this seems to be a single hunter, which does not fit the dog pattern.
Exactly. They go in packs, from the wolves to coyotes to, anything. It usually dogs, they do happen to be in packs. But for this dog, from what I've heard and what I've seen in the picture and from villagers locally, they honestly feel it's just one black dog out there.
Seth, you said that you brought back an audio recording that you captured.
Yes.
It took you a week to do it.
Uh-huh.
Quite honestly, I'm surprised you even got anything in just a week's time. But you said that you got one audio recording. Describe what it sounds like to us.
Oh, Ian, it is very creepy. It's a very long and raspy and howl. It almost sounds like maybe the dog is in distress, but it was hard to explain it. It wasn't like any other howl out there, not a wolf, not a from a dog, from...
Does it sound vicious?
It sounded like it was going after someone or going after an animal. It was, or whether it was calling for more, I don't know.
Were you physically there?
I was not physically
there. You weren't physically there. How, do you estimate how far away was your recorder from where you got the sound?
At first, I estimated, and from when the falling of the sound was, I honestly feel it had to be at least 500, 600 feet away from my recorder.
And it was off in like a jungle or a forested area?
Exactly. It was more of a very place where there's a lot of trees. And what I had to do was I had to place them a little bit high, facing, the angle of the audio, down to the floor so I could see if it walked, if I could hear anything. and from local dogs and cats, you know, sound. But this one from one of my recorders by the lake is where I capture this sound. And it was something that I, again, I showed it to the villagers if this is sounding familiar. And the man who captured it said, this is exactly what I heard in my barn when I first heard it. And I came after it, and it was the Itza.
Okay, Seth, let's take a listen to your recording of the Itza. Mm-hmm. What an evil sounding creature.
It's something.
Seth.
I don't know if you ever heard anything like this, Ian, but it's nothing out there that I could.
That is an evil sounding creature. One more time. Let's take one more listen to that.
Yes.
Seth, that sounds like a very, very vicious creature. So, even though it's a small creature, it just sounds...
It sounds very powerful.
Sounds extremely, extremely powerful.
And when I first heard this clip, it gave me chills. It scared me. And for me to kind of witness this and hear this, it's almost like it is out there. It exists because there's nothing like the sound. I let a couple of people that I know, scientists, hear this sound. They couldn't even explain it. Said, no, this had to be altered. Like, no, it was not. It was actually the real 100% audio clip of the sound that I recorded right by the lake, Betun Itza.
Did you amplify this sound at all?
Yes, I did. I had to amplify to get a more clear sound.
And did you bring that for us tonight?
Of course I did. And there's no way I'm not going to bring this clip here for you.
Okay, let's go ahead and cue that up and take a listen to the amplified version of the Itza. Well, Seth, that does not sound like a dog.
It definitely does not.
It really is a creature I don't think I have ever heard before.
And again, it gives you chills. It makes you wonder that this dog is out there. And I completely understand the villagers when they fear this animal, when they can hear this sound. Is it very loud? For being over 600 feet away and to still hear it like this, it's so bizarre. It's so, you know, it's this little small, from what I saw in the picture, a very small dog can growl that loud. Something had to be going on. Don't know what it was, whether it was calling for more. That's something for me. I don't know. It's one of those unknown questions.
Well, the Itza is still out there. It's time for a break, and we'll let the Itza take us out. I'm Ian Morris.
This is Nightcast.
Welcome back to Nightcast. I'm Ian Morris. Seth Michaels brings us the Itza tonight on Nightcast. Seth, can you tell us the region that this thing roams or has roamed in the past?
From the collections of the information that I received from the witnesses, from the accounts of eyewitnesses, I've seen this black dog. It has been accounted for from pretty much from Lake Isabel in the middle of Guatemala, and from as high as for the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. So you're talking about, I believe, even from the lower part of Mexico, you're talking about that big chunk right there. You're talking about from Lake Isabel all the way to the bottom, the lower southern of Mexico. It is a huge, huge part of land that this black dog has been seen, you know, roaming around. So you're talking about from different locations, miles, miles, hundreds of miles. So you're talking about almost 1,000 miles difference from, you're talking about from Mexico all the way from that Guatemala, that this dog has been witnessed from, again, from the lake in Isabel to Betun Itza and from Oaxaca, Mexico, from the Mayan cultures.
In relationship to, say, in North America, in the United States, what how big of an area are we talking? We're talking the entire Southwest or the Southeast or the Northeast, or what size landmass are we talking here?
The Southwest.
So the entire Southwestern region is where this thing used to roam. Now the area where it's in the small little area that it's in Guatemala, how big is that?
That, I will honestly say, it's approximately like 30, maybe I'll say 25 to 30 miles wide, the where the lake is.
So it's like a 30-mile kind of diameter.
Exactly.
Circular area where this thing is. You know, I have a hard time thinking that there can only be one left because it's been so many years since this thing's been around. It must be like some of these elusive animals, because there are so many animals, of course, that are not discovered.
Exactly.
And we maybe have not even discovered yet. And so I kind of have a hard time believing that there's only one out there.
And I agree with you, Ian, because, again, you know, you're seeing all these animals come up from different locations from Guatemala to Mexico in a, you know, very relative, you know, difference. You're talking about from the witnesses that the kid who died back in, you know, 30 years ago and to the one that they just captured maybe a couple of months ago. It's still there. And again, it could be one of those undiscovered animals that we've come across, but we have no information about it.
Seth, the one that they had captured, how did it get loose?
That's the hardest part. And that's what when I spoke with the owner of the land, and he couldn't even answer it. He was almost like, he felt very confident that he captured it. He kind of feels he regrets not leaving it inside the chicken coop because he felt that was the only place he cannot escape. But since he wanted to let it breathe, you can say, just to walk around a little bit, he had his walls. I'll say those walls were about at least maybe 10, 15 feet high. Very, very tall walls. But unfortunately, somehow this dog somehow found a way to jump off that wall.
It didn't dig under.
There was nothing digged under.
Nothing.
It was almost he had to jump over some way. Somehow.
So this thing can leap.
Yeah, I honestly feel this dog can leap very high.
Maybe that's how it can attack. Maybe, I mean, you know.
Well, I mean,
I'm thinking if you were a human or an adult human and this thing could leap that high, it could leap up and.
Oh, I mean, if with this fangs, I think it can honestly go for a great, I mean, it could take a good chunk out of it.
Now, it has larger fangs than your average dog.
Yes.
It's more like fangs of like a wolf. They actually protrude from the picture that you showed me. They actually kind of protrude down a little bit, and they're actually longer than that. So this thing is a carnivore.
Oh, definitely. I honestly feel that this dog knows how to eat and knows how to attack. And it always goes back to this animal who I feel has lived for so many years, knows how to adapt. So he knows the area very well.
Now, you refer to it as a dog. as in most of the folklore. Is that why you do that? Because to me, it doesn't look exactly like a dog. It looks...
Yeah, you know, I call it a dog because, yes, it goes back to the folklore because they call it the black dog. And I don't say dog as just any other dog. I call it dog because it's such a legend and it's such a unique creature that the best way, again, they name it Itza, not because that's the actual name of the animal, is because it's only been witnessed by in Petun Itza in Guatemala. That's where the name derives from. But what this animal could really be, what the real name could have been, I don't know. They, even in the Mayan culture, they just call it a black dog. That's all they were able to name it. You know, other creatures, other animals, they had a name for it. But this one, it just did not have a name for it.
Now, when this individual had it captured, did the other villagers come and take a look at it? Or did he show it to anyone else?
He had the fear if he showed it to someone else, again, a lot of the villagers in that area wanted to kill this animal. They wanted to kill it, but this owner did not want to yet. He wanted more information behind it because he wanted to know if there was more out there. So he captured for a reason, to get it studied, to get scientists involved, to get other people from different parts of the country and the world to kind of really study this animal because he wanted more information so they could protect themselves more, to see exactly where they live, how it, you know, how it adapts, how it eats, if it really does live in water or not. It was something. That's the reason why he didn't want to tell anybody, only scientists or scholars regarding it.
And he didn't show it to anyone else then? He just kind of kept it to himself. Does he have a family? Did he show it to his family?
His family knew about it. His family knew about it, but they really stick together to keep the secret in the family and only a few people out there to know about this creature.
So how many people actually witnessed the live creature?
His family. He had about six people.
Six people on this planet have actually witnessed the Itza. Are they afraid that since this thing got out, that it will breed and spread?
The thing is, they don't know. They don't know if there's more out there. They don't know if this could be the last of the Itza in that region. Again, I honestly feel it's been witnessed in that region, but there has been accounts in other parts of Guatemala within that lake. So whether that is the only one out there, I don't know.
Is it spreading?
Oh, I hope not. Because if it's, I mean, again,
it, this I is, mean, like, is it like the chupacabra that, you know, started kind of in the Central American area, Puerto Rico, places like that. And then slowly, you know, they started seeing it in Texas and as it was coming north. Is there any fear that the Itza could breed and move north?
I believe so. And that's the fear. That's the reason a majority of the villagers want it dead, want it killed. They want proof to see if it's dead. And there is sometimes a group of villagers that go out in the jungle, that go out in the woods, the different parts of Guatemala to find it.
They're hunting the Itza.
They're actually hunting the Itza.
I don't know necessarily that that's a good... I mean, this thing is very vicious and it's very dangerous, but I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing.
I feel they're just... The thing is, I feel because it's a small dog. They're, you know, these men feel like they're not, you know, it's just a small dog. Let's just go and get him. From what I've talked to a couple of the villagers in that area, you know, they feel that, oh, it's just a small dog. We can take care of ourselves. They don't think it's the size of a lion or a tiger, where if it was in that size, don't get me wrong, I feel like they would not even go for it. But
if it is the very last one and they kill it, then the entire species is extinct. We have no ability to study this thing anymore.
Exactly. And it's one of those debates, you know, keep them alive or kill them.
You know, killing livestock is one thing. However, on the other side of that coin, killing humans is a whole nother story.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where does the villagers have to work together to know exactly what they want. I honestly feel that they're going to capture it. Part of me feels they're not going to kill it. Again, they want to know if there is more out there. And if they capture one of them and they hear the howl again or they hear any more, then they know that they're still out there.
Well, we've got to hear the original version of the Itza one more time. Yes. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
And now the amplified version. You know, on a dark night in the Guatemalan jungle, that would send chills up your spine. I don't care how tropical or humid it is.
Yes.
That would send chills up your spine.
But these courageous villagers, they're willing to risk their lives to find this creature and kill it. And to hear something like that, even myself, Ian, will not get myself in that type of situation. I'd rather chase a Bigfoot than chase after this creature where... That howl, that sound, it just sends chills down your
spine.
Seth,
what was your reaction when you went and got your recorder and you listened and actually had this? When you first heard it, what was your reaction?
I wasn't shocked. I had chills down my spine. I just couldn't stop shaking. I was just so nervous. I was scared, to be honest.
Did you let anyone in the village hear this?
I see only the farmer because I that was the best way for me to...
The one that captured it.
Because I really want to know if this is what you heard before you captured it. And he said he heard it not in that extent with that loud, but almost like he heard the beginning of that and then it stopped. And then it kept going and it stopped. And that's when he, you know, alarmed him and he went after it. And again, it was killing one of its chickens. And and that's the only one I've heard of. And of course, from certain scientists and within that region that they feel that they never heard anything like this before. They started questioning me. Was it a legitimate audio? And it's almost like I had the audio, I had the raw, you know, clip. I had nothing was into it, but it was almost like even they were confused. They didn't know what it was. And now they're even starting an expedition to find this creature itself. They know that there's not that many out there. They honestly feel it could be a few left. But again, from what the witnesses and what I've seen and collected, it's a huge region where this creature could still live, where it could be roaming, whether we don't know if it lives on land or lives on water. That's something we don't know.
Well, Seth, we want to thank you for bringing the Itza to Nightcast.
My pleasure.
Our exclusive, the Itza. No one else has it. You can take a look at the Itza by going to our website at radiob88.com. Go to the Nightcast page and go down on the menu till you see Nightcast shows. Click on that and go to tonight's show. There'll be a link where you can see the Itza. Thanks once again, all of you, for joining us. I'm Ian Morris. Good night, everyone.
This has been Nightcast. Be sure to visit the website at radiob88.com.